We would like to thank our valued sponsors here at Rabbitohs Radio Podcast. Daryl Lee, The Juniors, NG Farrow Real Estate, Blast Pit, Ramos Bricklaying, Bunnaby Water, Adam Sampson Finance, Oz Snow, and Site Pizza.
Welcome to another edition of Rabbitohs Radio. My name is Grant Chappell. I'm joined by my loyal co-host and friend. He's back, Darren Brownie Brown. What's doing, Brownie?
Yeah, g'day, chaps, and g'day to all the viewers out there. Yeah, I certainly am back, back in flying colours. Got a nice tan on me. I'm glowing all the way from Bali, chaps. Geez, we had some great weather over there.
Well, you didn't miss much here. It's been very ordinary. I know you landed last week. It just heaved down Friday, Saturday here in Sydney. Sunday wasn't much better last night, but today wasn't a bad day at all, actually. I wasn't too disappointed with today. Tomorrow's looking even better, so it's all looking up, Brownie. Obviously, you've been over to Bali. Yesterday was Mother's Day. I know myself. I went up to the juniors at Pinocchio's up there. They're closing on the 2nd of June, but it was good to get a food in there. Mate, what a great deal. $85 for a three-course meal. Outstanding. Prawns, steak for mains, and good desserts too.
Yeah, sad to see Pinocchio's leaving the juniors, but I believe that they'll still be involved with the juniors group of clubs by having a restaurant there at juniors at Maroubra Junction.
That's right, yeah. Her brother, I think it is, has taken up the option there at Maroubra, and their daughters, they're both daughters, they've got one at Alawa over there in the St. George area. It's a restaurant that's been around for 40 or 50 years up there at the spot at Roundmeet. They moved to the juniors. Did a great job there, but they're looking to rest up and retire. They're in a different phase of their life in their late 60s, early 70s. So good luck to them, and thanks for all your service over the years, mate. And we'd like to thank Brendan for filling in for you, mate. We might get him on as a regular, mate, especially Teamless Tuesday. Brownie?
Oh, look, I listened to just about every podcast that you boys put out while I was in Bali, and like yourself, chaps, you always do, and Brendan did an outstanding job. He's got a great understanding of the game. He's very knowledgeable, and his memory is unbelievable. It just takes the fans back to that particular moment. Not like myself. I'm flat out remembering yesterday, but he's got a great memory of the game.
Oh, and, what about
his one-liners? Oh, they're unbelievable. I was just laughing the whole time when he's on the podcast. And look, I've had some feedback that they're calling for him to be a regular on the show. Now, our podcast might go from 2 to 3 again.
Yep, that's it. We're always looking for a solid addition, mate. Always looking for a real solid mate to come in, if you know what I mean, mate.
Well, I was going to say that, and but yeah, a tremendous fellow, and he did an outstanding job, and I'm sure he'll be back on the show very, very shortly.
Well, you're working afternoon shift tomorrow. You won't have to wait too long out there, listeners. It'll be me and Brendo doing Teamless Tuesday tomorrow afternoon while I've got the roadcaster here at home. You can probably hear Brownie's not sitting next to me. He's at his home there in Botany Palace down there. And look, mate, another pretty solid performance over the weekend, considering, Brownie, you're looking at guys that had never trained with South at all before. Matt French has never trained with them, even though he's been part of the New South Wales Cup system. They train Monday, Wednesday, Friday evenings. They don't train with the full-time squads who are basically there at 7 a.m. Any given day of the week. Look, it always depends. Your training schedule always changes depending on your game day, Brownie. So, and then your Shibasaki's, he's only arrived on a Monday. He's a part-timer from North Queensland. To have two of those guys in the lineup, and look, there was chances there where we could have quite easily, the bounce of the ball could have went our way and we could have led at stages in that second half. But it wasn't a bad effort overall.
Yeah, like you said, chaps, obviously the boys would be disappointed with a 28-4 loss. And like you just said, there was stages in that game where we had the opportunity to win the game. Obviously going into the match with missing 13 of our regular players, a couple of debuts, and Cody's 200th. There was plenty to play for, but unfortunately we couldn't get the job done on the back of a poor 66% completion rate, and they scored 3 tries off kicks. So there's a lot to work on.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, we only had 45% of the ball. I mean, the first half, we only had 40% of the ball. To go in at half-time down, it could have possibly had a lead if that that try to Cody Walker was allowed. I still haven't seen a knock-on from Jai Arrow in any angle at all. They sent it up. She sent it up thinking it was a knock-on to Cody Walker, but obviously they checked the whole play. They had a look at it, blah, blah, blah. There still was no evidence of Jai Arrow actually touching the football. I think it was Greg Bird in the contest knocked it back. Cody picked it up and scored. There's a possibility we would have led 12-6, 12-10 going in the break. Instead, obviously knocked it back, insufficient evidence, and he's gone up and kicked a two-point field goal. But look, it could have been a different game. There's a few little moments in that game that we'd like back. I think Liver had a 3-on-1 in the second half off the kick pressure from Damien Cook. There's another chance that went begging. I mean, Latrell could have tapped that ball dead. There's a few things that just didn't quite go our way, mate. And we need everything to go our way at the moment to win a game, Brownie.
Yeah, and there's probably a little bit more to that Cody try, which we'll talk a little bit about later in the show. But, yeah, I thought that we started strong, chaps. We had a lot of field position early, but we failed to capitalise on a number of attacking sets early on, and I think that really hurt us. There's probably four or five sets there where we were attacking their line. We eventually scored, where Latrell scored off a nice little grubber kick from Cody. I thought Latrell just probably could have got his hands on the ball a little bit more in them early sets, and I think that might have hurt us. In positions like that, you want your strike players getting their hands on the ball. And look, it's maybe no fault of Latrell's, because on their shape plays, we'll hit the lead runner, we'll turn the players under. I'd seen Latrell was sweeping out the back on a few occasions. But yeah, he's got to demand the ball a little bit more in them positions.
Yeah, he normally takes the right option when he does, if he does get the ball in two hands there. We didn't start perfectly, because we obviously allowed Lomax to score the first try. But I thought the first few sets we went got in the arm wrestle pretty early, some nice strong carries with Keon and David Mowali early. But it ended up being a try to Lomax out on that right-hand side, mate. And he's a dangerous player, Lomax.
Well, he certainly is. And it was great vision from the little number seven, Ben Hunt. It was the fourth tackle. You seen Latrell was involved in the tackle earlier. Latrell went to the right-hand A defender, and then obviously Ben Hunt noticed that and took the option to go down the short side and put a nice little grubber kick in behind Itom. And Lomax was too quick for Itom. He had to turn and chase, and he just wasn't in a position to do that. They came up with a try, and they went out to a 6-0 lead.
And they piled the pressure right on, and we were able to turn them away on a number of occasions, Brownie. Yeah, I think the first couple of dropouts just didn't go our way either. It just you got to get at least a 50% share of those dropouts. The first one, Shibasaki went up, knocked it on. Keon picked it up. They pulled it up. The other one, Latrell just failed to make the 10 metres. We just kept putting pressure on ourselves in that early stages. But it was a good fight back there. We got up the other end. We had some nice shape on. The leg speed was there. Leonard went in front a few times, and Cody was able to take it right in the line, and Latrell was Johnny on the spot, and he had to be, because he just happened to be there right when the ball was hitting the deck.
Yeah, it was a great position for Latrell to put himself in the frame to score that try. And like you said, it was a great little touch there from Cody Walker. But leading up to that, we probably didn't take the opportunities that we should have, but it was good to see Latrell hit straight back and take us out to a 6-all draw for the time being.
Yep, and then the Dragons struck back a little bit later on there with just some, I guess it was a nice little quick short passing game. I think it was the fullback Sloan who put Bird into a half hole, and Latrell came off and nearly stopped him. Actually, he wasn't too far away. His positioning on that occasion was spot on. Just Greg Bird, too big, too strong, and just got the ball over the line there.
Yeah, once again, down our left edge, Cody sort of like rushed out of the line, single-handedly, and probably Jack White should have come up with him. But yeah, that forced, I think, Sloan to get on the outside of Cody and play a nice little three-on-two there with Jack Burden. Yeah, he was just too strong for him. Dragged a couple over the try line with him, and yeah, they were on their way. I thought once they scored their first try, the Dragons, they really stepped it up a gear, and they were getting a really good go forward. They had a really good roll on, and we couldn't contain them. We were just on the back foot for the rest of the half, basically.
Yeah, big Suli, is it? Moses Suli, he's hard to handle. Ravalawa, even Lomax himself. Them outside backs, the yardage carries out of their own end. They just get a roll on. And then you get that Molo had a good game. He come up with two monster shots, one on Mawali, on our Mawali, and obviously one on Sean Kepi. Look, they did a good job, the Dragons. And the guy off the bench, Murdoch Masilla, who's been around for years and years, there's a couple of carries he did in the first half. We just couldn't handle the bloke. He just ran with us. I think one of them was the lead up to the field goal before halftime. It was a real handful off the bench, big Murdoch Masilla.
Yeah, we just seemed to be on the back foot the whole first half, chaps, after they scored that first try. And I don't know what it is. You know, we don't seem to have any line speed getting off our line. We seem to be in a little bit of slow motion at the moment. And look, losing becomes a habit in this game. And unfortunately, we're not playing with any confidence. I know, you know, Hornby said that they're only a couple of, you know, a couple of games away from trying to get it right. But unfortunately, I think we're going to go through a lot more pain before we do get it right, because we've got all of our experienced players out, and it's just very hard to get back on the horse and try and get a win next week, especially against the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's hard to see, you know, us stringing together a couple of wins, let alone the first one. Like, I mean, we'll see who's coming back this week. We'll get to that a bit later on. But, yeah, it was a Cody No try before halftime, Brownie. How'd you see that play? Obviously, it was a bit of a worm burner along the ground from right to left, and could have went anywhere, and Cody happened to go over and dive on that one. But, yeah, I'm surprised that one wasn't given the green light.
Yeah, well, like you just explained, chaps, there was a lot of traffic around the ball where they indicated that there was a knock on, but she sent it upstairs, no try, and they had to try and turn that around, but which they couldn't do. But I believe the play should have went, after they looked at the try, the play should have went back to the ruck, because Kyle Flanagan, after making a try-saving tackle on Dion Tiapa, when he stepped off his right and nearly went through, Kyle Flanagan didn't get back to the try line to get onside. And he was way offside, and that should have been a penalty after they obviously had a look at the try and they ruled a no try. It should have went back to him, and we should have got a penalty. Look, we're clutching at straws here, nitpicking, but
yeah, but you know, I mean, that's a nice pickup, Brandon.
We need
everything.
Well, we need everything to go our way, don't we, chaps, at the moment?
That,
because
yeah,
we're not getting, we're not having any luck. We're not playing with any confidence. And you go back and watch that, and Kyle Flanagan was dead set offside.
Okay, yeah, we'll go and have a look at that one. That's an interesting call. I was more worried about the contest of the ball and who touched it and who didn't touch it and where it went and the final play. But okay, well, there's one to think about there. And then they marched up, as I said, off some strong carries out of their own line, and Lomax was just nailed a 40-plus metre field goal and confident fella, and they went in 12-6 up. That still wasn't a bad effort from the Bunnies to go in 12-6 up. I wasn't too disappointed with that. And then we were able to get some plays on in the second half, and it's just a beautiful play by Latrell. If you go and watch the play, gets the ball sort of coming across the field. There was a little bit of shape. There wasn't that much on. It was basically 3-on-3, but he eyed off the centre and just threw a ball out in front of Itom and made him come onto the ball, and Itom had to do a fair bit of work, got the left hand up, put the ball on the right hand, and was able to get it in inches inside the line. And look, it was a pretty little play that only sort of Latrell can sort of put on, that sort of play.
Yeah, it was a perfectly timed pass from Latrell down there. our Lethal Left, where we have had a lot of success over the last couple of years, albeit it's usually Alex Johnson on the end of it, but this time it was Itom. And like you just said, chaps, he had plenty of work to do once he got the ball. He did extremely well to get the ball down, and it was a great hit back straight after half time.
Yep, certainly was. And we're right in the contest then. We ended up doing our eyeballs. I think Latrell missed a kick. But they ended up getting a penalty goal, I think. They went out off a... they had a couple of penalties that were pretty iffy, to be honest. And then they were able to just bang in that try to Sewer, where Latrell was just caught out of position. It was a kick that was bending away from, obviously, where he was, and Big Sue was able to come in and put the ball down and sit up and slide along the wet surface there, like he was on a jet ski, or no, sorry, not a jet ski, a surf ski there, mate, rowing down the beach here at Maroubra.
Yeah, it was perfectly weighted kick there from Kyle Flanagan, I think it was, and yeah, Sue pounced on it. The ball was rolling away from Latrell. I don't think Latrell was any chance of really getting off to the ball, and he just put a nice dive in, hopefully, that he might have made contact with the ball at some stage. But, yeah, it was too far away from the ball to really put himself in a position to do any damage. But, yeah, and we're just on the back foot once again there, chaps, and the Dragons were off and running.
Yeah, that was, I think right before that, there's a five-minute period before that, I felt like we were starting to get on top. We're getting up the field nice and easily. The backs were having their way. I think Chukan was having some good carries. Isaac Thompson, yeah, Shibasaki's and likes, and we just got up the other end. And just couldn't play five. We seemed to lack a little bit of direction there at times, and we're going a little bit sideways on the line instead of trying to win a quick play the ball on the middle and do that left shift that we normally do. And they were able to get one. Almost against the run of play, that one there. I think it was an error from us. They went down, were able to score that try. And I just felt that once they got that one, it was gonna be pretty tough from there on in. And it was just basically the boys hanging in there. Then there was the Jack DeBellin try, which Latrell was just wrong-footed at the back there and have come through and scored. And then we just came at them a few times there. Then we never gave up, never threw the towel in. Cookie almost... got a try for us with some kick pressure, as I spoke about earlier, and look, I think it was Liver couldn't get the ball where it needed to be or throw the dummy and then just feed the people on the outside. And look, anyway, it's the way we are at the moment. We don't have that huge amount of experience. We got like you said, we got 13 players unavailable from that game injury-wise, but we also had two blokes suspended as well. So that's 15 out of your top 30 unavailable. I'm pretty sure it's the first time the NRL era that's happened to a team where you've had to bring in two part-timers to go down swing in there. Probably a fair reflection of the scoreboard. Might have been a little bit closer, but the bounce of the ball just doesn't go your way when you're out of luck, Brownie.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't, chaps. Like we just indicated before, it becomes a habit losing, and we just can't seem to put ourselves in a position to win a game over the last couple of weeks. And I'm not sure the players that we've got coming back this week, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, but I hope there's a few to come back. We just need to have a little bit of luck go our way, play with heaps of energy and up tempo, which I can't see. I've said it before on this show, I watch a lot of footy every weekend, just about every game, and the speed and the tempo that every other game is played at is far more superior than what we're playing at. And we've just got to get to that level, and until we get to that level, I think we're going to keep going through some pain. But, yeah, hopefully it's next week that we can get up to their level.
Yeah, well, you speak about the speed of the game. A lot of it's got to do those six agains. The ball's in play a lot, so... You need effort on effort, energy. You need blokes that are not giving up on any play. And you got to be pushing up around the ball. I watched that Dolphins game the other night. The way that team plays for each other and for their coach, Wayne Bennett, it's just unbelievable to see. They were down 16-4, 6 or 7 minutes before halftime, and went to halftime with the lead. Like, unbelievable. And that was just energy, effort, pushing up around the ball, not giving up on any play. That's the sort of football that we're looking to get to. I know we will get there. I'm sure we'll get there this year at some stage once you start to get the troops back. I think we will get there. Brownie, we had a couple of good stories there.
Even the Titans game yesterday, chaps, was in the same mould as that Dolphins game. They were down on troops. They had no replacements left. Manly just were coming at them. They were storming home, and they just hung on. They just kept turning up for each other, defending. That last play down the right-hand edge, I don't know whether you've seen it. Was involved. He was defending at 5'8". Unbelievable, and that's just the energy and the effort that you've got to be playing with in the NRL today. And if you're not playing at that level, well, you're going to struggle to win games.
Yeah, there's a lot of speed in both of those teams, mate. Look at the two fullbacks. Yeah. The energy and the speed, that AJ Brimson, Drinkwater, they're just everywhere. They're from sideline to sideline. They're in every play. They're backing up down the middle, barking at their players where to be, where not to be. They had speed on each wings, athletic back rowers. That Nane, every time you put a chip through, grubber through, he scores. And the way we're conceding kick tries, I dare say he scores at least one try next week too. We're playing him in Magic Round. Yeah. In saying that, I want to see the team named. I really think we're a chance to beat them because they seem to fall. They've got no confidence either, Brownie. They lost 4 or 6 in a row. They've got no confidence. It's the perfect team to come up against if we can start well, complete high. But anyway, before we get to that one, mate, we had a couple of debutants. Matty French, Dion Tiapa, obviously Shibasaki. Might get your thoughts firstly on Dion, the halfback, mate. How do you think he went?
Yeah, I thought he had a great debut, Dion, in probably what is one of the hardest positions on the field, and that's been your number 7, your organiser. He's had a very experienced partner in Cody Walker, who did a lot of the kicking, took a lot of the pressure off him there. But I thought Dion was solid in his game. He had some great defence, and I thought it was a really, really strong debut for Dion. I'm sure he did his family and himself proud. Even though they come up with a loss, I'm sure he would have been happy with the way he played.
Yeah, I think one thing that stands out with Dion, and I think I tipped that off prior to the game, he's a body. He's a fair body. Defensively, he's up to it. He put on a couple of shots in that first few minutes, put his body on the line, tried to hurt some other blokes. Like, I mean, he had 25 tackles, a couple of misses, but you're going to get that at in the halfback position. You do get targeted a lot, and I thought he really handled himself well. He's able to step off the right foot and nearly score on a number of occasions in the game. Just played a nice little support role there, and he'll be better for the run if he's selected this week, Brownie.
The good thing about what he did, chaps, he didn't overplay his hand. He left a lot of the main stuff up to Cody, and that was good of him. But, yeah, I thought he had a really good debut, and I'm sure he'll be there again next week.
Yeah, well, while you're at that, I think you would give Cody a rap. I think his kicking game's been pretty good. I think it was pretty solid against Penrith. He came up with a couple of really good kicks. I thought he had a couple of nice kicks on the weekend as well. So that's something that it's a bit of food for thought there, that Cody might hold this number 7 spot for a little while, the kicking duties, even though he had the number 6 on his back. Another bloke didn't get a lot of opportunities, but had his 17 minutes and had a big contingency of people down there at the ground was Matty French, mate. A pretty good story, really. A part-time bloke, gets an opportunity, comes on. Didn't get a lot of opportunities to carry the ball. I don't think we had a lot of ball while he was on, but he's a worker and he got through his tackles. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, certainly did, chaps. And it's very hard as a replacement to come on and make your debut. I had to do that myself. The pace of the game is so much faster than what you're used to, and you feel like you're getting left behind a little bit. But once he got into his groove, I thought he was really good. He came up with some nice contact in his defence, and he didn't get many opportunities like you just indicated with the ball. Had a couple of carries, but he would have loved the moment. He would have enjoyed it. His family and his friends were down there, and it would have been a great experience for him. And hopefully he gets another opportunity this week up at Magic Round up there at Brisbane.
Yeah, well, you've seen, if you might have seen some of the social media footage South put out. Blake Taft's obviously a good friend of his, spent a lot of time at the Entrance Tigers. Blake Taft's dad, Darren, was in the crowd there. He coached him. Josh Cook, who's a good friend of his through the when he used to play with the Bunnies at the in the 20s competition. So, yeah, it was good to see some of those guys supporting him. Joshy Cook himself's playing some good footy at the Newtown Jets this year. So good to see him fighting back and putting the good performances in.
Had a couple of shirts made up for him, the Matt French shirt. So, yeah, it was good to see.
Yep, and there was a big contingency of Maroubra Lions there for Dion Tiapa. That was his junior club when he came over to the Rabbitohs. So, yeah, I think it was pretty good performance. Shibasaki as well had his family down there at training the other day. The captain's run, and he's someone that, look, I thought his performance was pretty good, Brownie. I mean, we haven't, every time we get a half-decent performance out of a winger, they get hurt. Let's hope this bloke doesn't get hurt at training. I thought Tassie was great on the right wing. He gets hurt. Tane's put a few good performances in. He seems to get suspended. Jacob Gaygai's had a couple of really good performances, and he's had a few injuries. He's been left out of the squad, so hopefully Gurmat, we've been calling him the Matt Brownie, Shibasaki for short. The Matt, I thought he was pretty strong, man. 132 metres, 42 post contact metres, 4 tackle breaks.
Yeah, I thought he had a really good day. Good chaps. He come up with a couple of errors early. No, just through trying, but it didn't dent his confidence. I'll tell you what, he's got, and that's an area that we are struggling with at the moment, and that is foot speed at the line. He's got great foot speed. He's well balanced. He seems to be able to break a tackle. And, yeah, with a bit of luck, he'll be there again next week as well. But because I thought he had a really, really strong game. And you can just tell that this kid's got something. And hopefully he gets another opportunity against the Cowboys this weekend because, yeah, I'd like to see him get a little bit more time in first grade. And without a doubt, he'll make it, this kid.
He's still young. I think he's 24, 25. I think Vossi indicated that he had some time in Japanese rugby, which I didn't know. He's obviously got a lot of skill. I think Latrell threw a couple of pretty tough balls out to him, and he's able to put the mid out and rope them in pretty easy. He made some tough things look pretty easy. I suppose that you could say that about Shibasaki. He did have a couple of drop balls. One of them, Dion Tiapa, threw it behind him from dummy half. The other one was off a dropout. He wasn't Robinson Crusoe though. He wasn't on his own with the drop balls, as you said. We had 62% completion. So the conditions were pretty tough. I did speak to Sato, who was running the water, and he reckons he hardly got wet. So the rain was melting down in my joint out here at Little Bay, I can tell you that, during that whole game. But at the game, they only got a little bit of a spray in the second half. Even Josh Camp, had a good chat to him. One of our best supporters that you could ever find, mate. Look, he wasn't too disappointed in the game either, Brownie. He was happy with Shibasaki. He didn't mind what he seen from Dion Tiapa and a few of the guys. He sort of left that game thinking, well, that's not a bad effort under the circumstances.
Well, exactly right, chaps. It's very hard for them debutants to come in with so many experienced players missing, even though we still had a number of quality players there. You still like to have your Cameron Murrays and your Alex Johnsons there to help your fresh players out. But they all did a great job, and I'm sure they'll be all happy with their performances. And credit goes out to, you just mentioned the weather, credit goes out to the ground staff there at Cogra Oval because it was in tremendous condition.
They had
a couple of games on there beforehand. They had the New South Wales Cup on. And then the Jersey flag after that. So, yeah, it was in really good nick. Compared to Allianz, I switched it over to the rugby there for a little bit just to watch Tom Wright for the Brumbies, and that was horrendous conditions.
Yeah, it doesn't hold the water as good as Cogra Oval. Outstanding. It was in great nick, and congratulations to the ground staff out there. There might have been a couple of your old classmates, Brownie, being an old Kingsgrove boy, mate. There might have been one of your old one of your old classmates, buddy, doing the ground work down there.
Yeah. Might have been.
You never know.
Brighton Seagulls.
The Brighton Seagulls, yeah. Well, I'm sure they're still around. I don't know too much about them. But Keon Klamatangi, want to give him a wrap. I thought he started the game well, ran the ball hard, almost ran like a middle there at times, just one off the ruck. He tried to get us on the front foot as best he could. I thought he was one of the better forwards in terms of yardage and first up contact while holding the pill. And he's always got a tough assignment because he plays the entire game. And I think back end of the second half, Damien Cook, he had a dummy half. He jumped out. He hit Lever short on one side. He jumped out a dummy half again. He hit Talas Duncan short on a few occasions. And I like the look of that, making decisive decisions, not running around in circles. He hasn't really taken off yet. He hasn't seen what he's liked yet, but something to build on there. And there's a bit of food for thought there for Benny Hornby. Does he stay with the 80 minute hooker in Damien Cook on that back of that performance?
Yeah, well, he got the Ramos Bricklaying Award, 48 tackles, 112 metres, two tackle breaks. And like you just said, chaps, he was very threatening out of dummy half, taking off and putting the defence in two minds. I thought his effort plays were really good as well. He came up with one really good one. So, yeah, Cookie's obviously taken it upon himself to lead the way. And I'm sure Benny Hornby will be looking at that for next week's team selection. But, yeah. A well-deserved Ramos Bricklaying Award.
Yep, coming off a milestone game the week before, Cookie. It was Cody's milestone game this week. He laid on a try assist. He was certainly trying to inspire his team there, Cody Walker. This week coming up, it's the 250th game of Jackie Whiten in first grade. So a treble of milestone games. No wins yet, but you never know. Jack might be the lucky one to come out on top with a win. I thought Talas Duncan offers a fair bit when he comes on in the middle. The foot spurred, he pushes up in his sort of run support and push support's big. Defensively, I thought he got dominated on a few, but he's strong enough to be able to put shots on and when blokes come in and help him. I've still got a question mark on 37 minutes of play. I really want to see him playing 50-plus minutes. If he's the genuine replacement for Cam Murray's out for 6 to 8 weeks. Why not get him in there and get him prepped up, ready to go, just in case Cam comes back and has another injury? I'd like to see some more minutes out of him. Brownie, I don't know about you.
Oh, look, chaps, I totally agree, mate. I cannot understand why this kid is maybe not even starting the match, playing longer minutes. I thought he was outstanding the other night, and then I looked around and he was off again. So he threatens the line with the ball. He breaks tackles. He's a great defender. He gets in their faces. And, yeah, 37 minutes is just like not long enough. I mean, we're not the coaches. This is only our opinion. And I'm sure it's the opinion of a lot of other people, but I just can't understand why. To me, is he getting tired after 37 minutes? What's the reason that he has to come off when this player, he threatens the line every time he touches the ball?
I don't mind Liver starting. I've got no problems with that. But when he comes on, whether it's 15 minutes of the game, this time it happened to be 22nd minute, I think, I'm leaving him on to the death, playing him out. I didn't see any signs of fatigue. I didn't see any signs of effort dropping off. I'm keeping him out there till the death, you know. And maybe they wanted to try and somehow get Frenchie into the game a little bit more, but Frenchie only got 12 minutes at the end of the day. We could have squeezed, and he played middle anyway, so you could have used, maybe trimmed off a bit of David Mwale's minutes. It was 56 minutes. That's a season high for Davey. Davey got through a bit of work. He got through 40-odd tackles, Davey. So we were happy with what we've seen there, but I think he gets a little bit fatigued in his carries. He didn't sort of run. His first couple of his carries are really strong and hard, but some of them he just doesn't seem to have the energy to really go in 100 miles an hour into the defensive line.
Yeah, no, 100% chaps, they're spot on. And, it's a bit strange, actually, to see that Talas is only getting this amount of time. And it was his first game back in the team after a couple of weeks on the sidelines. And, you know, hopefully once again, he can get a little bit more game time next week, because I just think he's a player that can break the line, and he threatens every time he's got the ball, and he's a great defender, and he's got a high work rate, and he can play that link man as well. So Yeah, it's a bit strange, but from my point of view, I'd be having Talis Duncan out there for more minutes.
Yeah, for sure. And Latrell coming back, 116 metres, two tries, one try assist. He was involved in all of our points scored. So it was great to have Latrell back. But I'd just like to see a little bit more carries from him, a little bit more involvement at stages of the game. His positional play at the back was pretty good, but he wasn't there for a couple of those kicks in behind the line. And he's got to follow the ball a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, well, his stats showed that he's had not a bad game for his first game back in 4 weeks. So, to be honest, chaps, I thought he probably could have got his hands on the ball early on in the piece a little bit more. Like I said, it might have been the game plan to hit our lead runners and turn the players under. But I just think Latrell's got to touch the ball. He's our strike player. He's got to demand the ball. And I'm calling for him. And a lot of people are calling for him to play centre. I'd be giving him a go at number six, moving Cody to seven. And that's no disrespect to Dion, because I thought he had a really strong game. But I just think we need to get Latrell into the game a little bit more. And by putting him at six, I know the Roosters did it there for a couple of weeks, a couple of years ago, and it really worked. It just forces Latrell to play a bit of footy. And he's a big body, Latrell. He's a powerful, powerful player. And if he can be in that front line, ball playing, taking the line on, I think it'll be a big, big benefit for the team.
Well, he's a rare player that can play both sides of the field. He's passed from right to left and left to right. There's nothing between them. He's a very unique player who can do that. So you could leave Cody where he is, linking up with his old mate Jackie White, which has come up fruitful on occasions. But you could park him over on the right-hand side. He's a big body. Defensively, you're gonna end up probably having a step up in class in any halfback we've got now. Club, any 5-8 now club, he'd be the strongest. Ball playing wise, he can put a nice little deft kick in behind. He can roof one out of trouble if we need to. He'd have one of the biggest boots in the NRL. He'd be like a Matt Burton if you had to. I'd love to see him go in there, to be honest. I know his father, Matt, talks about how much he developed both his boys in the halves. They got their fundamental skills are outstanding, as good as anyone. He can handle the position. I think with a guy like Jacob Gaygai possibly available this week, could it be an opportunity to put him at fullback and freeze everyone up there? You could probably leave Chukam in right centre there, working in with Latrell and Keon. Latrell and Keon's combination would build up a fair bit. Imagine no look passes from Latrell to Keon, short or long out the back to out on the wing to Shibasaki. Like, you'd really build up some combinations out there over the next few weeks. It's just a matter of whether you. Can you trust Jacob Gaygai to go fullback? If you go back to the Charity Shield, Brownie, he was pretty good in the Charity Shield. Now, every time he's come into first grade, it's only been a couple of occasions. He's pretty much, I think he scored three tries in a couple of games, two games or something like that. If he's available, I've got to pick this bloody Jacob Gaygai in my team somewhere.
Yeah, and I'd love nothing better to see Latrell at six this week. It's his Cowboys team. Having Latrell in the front line and getting his hands on the ball two and three times, four times in every attacking set.
Oh,
now, what more could you ask for?
Well, the opposition would hate to see that, Brownie. Go back to one of the best 5'8s in the last 20 years, Brad Fittler. Big, strong 5'8. He had all the skill in the world. He had that big right foot step. Latrell's probably hasn't got an amazing step, but Latrell will just run through you. If you want to do an arms tackle on Latrell, he's just going to run straight through you. If you want to push up and push up past the ball, he'll get in behind the line. He can put that deft grubber kick in. He could just keep running himself, mate. I reckon it'd be an absolute masterstroke to get him in the halves at the moment. We've already seen, you've had a 2-week trial of Cody Walker taking over the kicking role, and he's been really good. Been a dominant kicker. His high kicks, his long kicks, he's been able to put on a few tries. Look, there it is, mate. There's the blueprint right there if you wanted to make a few changes. Other than that, mate, Latrell's someone you just want him in your team, touching the ball one, two, three times in a set of six. It takes the pressure off him at fullback. There's so many yards you've got to carry at fullback. It's too big for a big body. He's the biggest fullback in the game. The second biggest fullback is that Turbo. What happens to Turbo? Gets soft tissue injuries all the time.
Yeah.
It's too much on the body for Latrell to be running sideline to sideline, everyone going back for kick retrievals, bringing it back, getting bashed up the front there. I think it's going to, for the longevity of Latrell, it's going to be a big move too. I'd like to see him push him up into the half, mate.
I think we need some sort of change there, chaps, and this will be the perfect change. Cody to 7 and Latrell to 6. And like I said, it's no disrespect to Dion because I thought he had a really strong game. I just believe that we need to change something. Something needs to give. And I think it'll be a masterstroke move if Benny Hornby will do that this week.
And you love seeing halves play on the same side of the field on a big open set, a sideline set. Imagine Cody Walker to Latrell linking up in the middle of the field, engaging defenders and stuff like that. It's salivating. I think the time's come now. And Jacob Gaygai, he's everywhere. He's an effort player. He's going to be there sideline to sideline. Positionally, he's pretty good. I've watched him a lot in the lower grades. And he's not a small fullback either. He's not a giant, but he's not a small fullback. So, yep, I like that move, Brownie. I'm going to back that one 100%. You might have seen a little bit in the paper over the weekend there, off the back of the signing of David Fifita. Look, it's obviously going to ruffle some feathers at the club. The first one it's going to ruffle is the bloke that was basically pushed aside. He's a left edge back rower, starting for the Roosters for the last 6 or 7 years. They've just signed a bloke over the top of him, David Fifita, on $825,000 a year. So obviously he's not in the picture. No one at the club's spoken to him about it. Look, I think it's a pretty ordinary go, and there's reports that South Sydney have been talking to him. Look, I got some mail that we've been talking to him for a couple of weeks now, so that wouldn't be a bad signing, Brownie. A big, strong, powerful left edge back rower. We can pair him up with Keon next year, and he knows the club. He's got a really good connection with the Indigenous communities, come up with a few programs up in Arnhem Land. Jeez, he wouldn't be a bad first signing in the forwards for next year.
Oh, geez, he's in some great form at the moment, isn't he, chaps? He's back to his best. And this was a little bit strange that they didn't even talk to Angus about it. I suppose that's the Roosters for you. They just go out and sign whoever they can. But, yeah, just reading between the lines from the Sydney Morning Herald today, he thinks that the Roosters mightn't even talk to him. So, well, there you go. They've just let one of their greatest back rowers go, and hopefully we can jump on Angus Crichton's signature.
Yeah, really, feel sorry for him because he sounds like he's very he's waiting for a phone call to, oh, look, we're signing him. We've still got you in the picture, but nothing. Not a word from the coach, not a word from Nick Politis. They talk about loyalty and how much better it is at the Roosters and how we run things better. That's not running things better. Mate, that's really ordinary form from a bloke who's given him absolutely everything. Look, Angus is in sublime form. And maybe the form reversal is from, look, South Sydney having a chat to him for the last couple of weeks. Been talking to him for 3 weeks. How many tries do you reckon he scored since we've been talking to him, Brownie?
Well, I'm going to leave you with this, chaps. I reckon he's scored 3 tries in the last couple of weeks since we've been talking to him.
Not 5, mate. 5 tries in 3 weeks, mate. Most tries by a back rower in a 3 week period this year. So, look, he's in good form, Brown. But you got to shoot through, don't you, mate?
Yeah, I certainly do, chaps. I'd just like to thank everyone, and let's go to the Rabbitohs next week against North Queensland up there in Brisbane for Magic Round.
All right, we're going to thank you for joining us there, Brownie. We'll speak to you after, mate. I'm going to finish this one off and go through the pathways and the flag. And the other thing before we go to a break here is, look, we haven't had any injuries over the weekend, which sounds pretty good to me. So on that note, going to a break with no injuries. Let's hopefully that continues the next few weeks as we get a few back. But on the other side of this, we'll come back with Pathways, brought to you by the juniors. Okay, it's the Pathways Report brought to you by the juniors, and obviously only there the other day, yesterday for Mother's Day. Yep, outstanding choice of beers, food. It's a big club, and it's worth going any day of the week up there. They always give us plenty of support. It was a washout in the A grade, the local competition. But we had a couple of games. New South Wales Cup played first at 1 o'clock. It was on KO on TV. I was able to watch it there at work, the whole thing. And I watched a bit of the replay as well, the bits I did miss, because had a few things going on there. But, yeah, it was a debut there of Jakey Trindle. The Trindle name lives on there at the Rabbits, and I bumped him having a coffee prior to the game on my smoko break. He was getting a bit of a feed in. He's had a few injuries at the moment. I think he had crook ribs and maybe a dodgy hip, but, geez, he's a tough little fella, Jakey Trindle. Puts on some shots. He was on some loose balls. He gave it absolutely everything he got. We were beaten 26-6, but when you consider how many of those guys had the New South Wales Cup portability, a lot of them hadn't played at that level New South Wales Cup before. A lot of them hadn't even played a game at all. They had to step up, and I thought they did a great job. Tristan Alvarado come on off the bench. I thought he was impressive. Strong carries, big hits. Another debutant there, Liam LeBlanc, strong. Got a turnover in one of his first hits of the day. Carries the ball strong. He's obviously the only full-time player we had in the New South Wales Cup game. I think the Dragons had 11 or 12. And it was, 12-6 for a long time. We hung in there for a long, long time before the boys just ran out of puff there at the end and were probably beaten by a more experienced side. Conditions were a lot tougher than the first grade game. There was a lot of rain belting down, but they did it. They did a great job. I know. Spoke to Coach Joe after it. Obviously, won the premiership last year. Come from a very similar position, but he just wanted to say that look, the boys have tried their asses off. They've been for the past few weeks. No full timers. I genuinely hope supporters can see the heart the group is playing with, because we're up against it every week and we'll keep fighting from here on in. And look, totally agree with that, Joey. I think the boys should be very proud of their efforts out there. There's a number of guys that just hadn't played at that level for a while. There was a Cody Kennedy on the wing. He hadn't played a New South Wales Cup game ever. That was his first one, but he played one Queensland Cup game in 2015, he was like 9 years between drinks at that level. So he come on and he was a gangly-looking thing. He had tattoos all over the joint. A couple of big carries, a few big hit-ups. Look, they were absolutely doing their best for the showed a lot of South Sydney spirit, and that's all we can ask of them, having to step up to a completely different level than what they've been used to. And obviously even A grade, there's only been one A grade game this year in the local competition due to a couple of washouts. They do start a lot later. CJ Mundine showed some promise. Young Carson Cahoe, who was his second or third game, he looks a bit of a fine, come up and had a few shots. Ryan Gray, I think he scored the only try at a dummy half there. He was pretty sharp at times. Chase Chapman, Mark Amoretti, they all did a great job, and obviously the veteran himself, Yaleen Gordon, he always leads the way. But it was just a little bit more class from Jesse Marshke and a few of those Dragons players, the Fagai brothers. They've got NRL experience all over the board. The Couchman, Ryan Couchman, he was pretty impressive. But well done to the Dragons there, too good. And then it was the Jersey Flag. They had a very hard-fought, tough, gritty win, 18-16 over the Dragons. Tries to Aaron Macy and Ruglis in the centres, and Dane Towns, who's been in pretty good form the last few weeks at fullback, the fleet-footed fullback, very quick, a little bit light on. He'll put the weight on eventually, and it was a successful return of Noah Reid in the front row there. He's a player of promise. One of the real standouts in the preseason for Chris Tippy O'Connell's team. He was someone he was very impressed with in the preseason. Had a few injuries, but good to see him come back. We had two SG ball players had to come up two on debut. Matthias Heslin and Daniel Wright both performed pretty well. It was a pretty high pressure game, as you can imagine. The scores were pretty tight. And it got down to, I think the time had just about expired. Louis Grosmy gave away a penalty from 40 out. So the siren had gone. They had an opportunity to take the lead at the end. To draw the game up, and it actually hit the post. So bit of luck and a bit of justice there for the mighty Rabbitohs to hang on for a great win there. And Tippy is pretty proud of his boys and their performance, and they'll continue to battle away. Some of the other performers there were Toby Sullivan. I think he was pretty strong in the game from all reports. Jack Field was better for the run in his second occasion. Did his best out there. Obviously the two centres, Macy and Ruglis, were really strong performers as well. So they actually have the round off this week, Jersey Flegg. So the boys can rest up, and they might be able to get a couple of blokes back with any luck. Brady Hawkins had a decent game, and he's always pretty strong, that Jarvis Liafa from the Bulldogs. But yeah, well done to the Jersey Flegg side. I'm going to wrap this one up. Been quite a long podcast there. There's the funeral of former Rabbitoh Terry Hill. Passed away a few weeks ago over there in the Philippines of a heart attack. At 11:30 a.m. this Thursday at the Wintle Room at the Juniors Kingsford. I'm going to make sure I get along to that one and send off a real legend of the area and our club, and obviously of the NRL. A generous man, and he deserves a proper send-off. Don't worry about that. And we might take it out with, I mentioned earlier in the show, Jack Whiten's 250th game coming up. Going to take it out with a couple of – he's only had a small career at the Rabbitohs, but we're going to take it out with a couple of highlights from Jack Whiten's career up the mighty Rabbitohs.
Another quick play of the ball, Murray working, Walker linking, Whiten with a chance, he goes through, it's his first try as a bunny.
Close to the line, the bunnies strike straight away.
Still have plenty to do there, Jack Whiten. But that's how he plays, flat out.
Start of the second half. Both teams are filling each other out. Here we go. We've got a bit of a...
Johnston! Down the wing, he beat them. Johnston, back on the inside. And it's a try to South straight after the break. Jack Whiten's got a second.
Well, nothing